Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Very excited to be here with you this Wednesday morning on Jump in. We had a great show yesterday with Ted Maxwell, bringing up Fletcher McCusker from Rio Nuevo. And today, coming up a little later, we are going to talk opening up your own restaurant with an ex-team member of mine, Jared Schwartz from Penelope Pizza. But first, for food for thought, I'm going to go off script over here and talk a little bit about something that happened to us this weekend in the restaurant business here in St. Philip's Plaza. As we talked about last week, this was a big week for Tucson, right? The U of A returning on Monday, everybody gearing up, mom and dad taking people to Costco and Sam's Club and Target, and then hopefully out to your local restaurants and bars, and we could feel it. We were humming, hitting on all cylinders on Friday. Saturday night, Gigi and the Glow was playing. The restaurant couldn't be more packed, and I couldn't be more excited to both hear those cash registers ring and know that my staff was making money and that everybody was having a great time. And suddenly, in a terrible twist of fate, in the way that sometimes none of us can really predict, we had a police presence outside the restaurants at St. Philip's Plaza about 8:30 p.m., and they closed off the northbound exit to St. Philip's Plaza, preventing a right turn from being made on what would be eastbound River Road. Now, I had a number of customer complaints. Hey, we can't turn. We can't get out of the plaza. What's going on? And so I went to the community service agents that were out there in the old Crown Victorias that TPD still has to protect public service. And they told me there had been a fatal motorcycle accident over at River and Hacienda del Sol. So we spent the evening diverting traffic. And while certainly we contemplated that accident, we didn't really know the gravity of it until the next morning, when we got a phone call from one of our staff members' moms. And it turned out that this accident was our day bartender, Gabriel Meek, who had left the restaurants only minutes before having this accident just down the street. A new motorcycle owner had only had this bike for about a month or so. And as it turns out, the accident wasn't fatal. He was basically dead when they found him. They revived him. But this is going to be a terribly, terribly disfiguring and life-changing accident for what is really a young and amazing individual. And so we've got on our social medias at Union Public House and Reform on Modern Mexican and Proof, and on my own Facebook at Grant Kruger, you can find me there, a GoFundMe page for Gabriel Meek and his family out there, because this is an amazing, amazing 23-year-old kid. And sometimes we think of the business end of the business, right? That everyone's some sort of cogs in the machine, and we forget that there are people behind every bit of the service industry, hundreds of people that work with and for us to service those meals on the weekend. Sometimes you hear complaints about Gen Zs or millennials not working as hard as perhaps previous generations. And every day I'm reminded that that's not always true. And in this case with Gabriel Meek, this is an amazing, amazing kid that's got a tremendous fight in front of him to recover from this one. And so I just wanted to shout out to Gabriel and to his family. If you're out there listening, we appreciate and support you guys. And if you happen to take a peek at that on your social medias in some capacity, do take it out, a little time out of your hearts and wallets to donate to that great cause. Moving on to more positive news, as we delve into the restaurant season here in Southern Arizona, we're going to talk about a lot more openings than we have been closings. All summer long, I've been giving you news that this place is closing and that place is closing, and it's always kind of a bummer, but there are some new places popping up. First and foremost, there's a new tea concept coming called Brucha, opening up in the 1,800 square foot building at 3435 East Speedway. It most recently housed Nobility, and they're going to take their own spin on homemade boba tea. So we're pretty excited about that one coming. Red Captain Coffee's opening back up. If you haven't had a chance to check out the Red Captain Coffee cart, they're located in front of Marvin Kitchler's Hem and Her store on Stone, on the east hand side of Stone over there. And that one closed last May, and there's a new owner, Shane O'Brien, has taken over Red Captain Coffee and opened that space back up. And that's got a lot of neat little picnic tables and shaded outdoor areas. Kind of a cool little third place, as Shane would call it. So do go out and check out Red Captain Coffee. And then finally, the Arnett Creek Watering Hole is opening up on the east Side. That is 7215 East 22nd Street, Suite number 101, in a space that formerly housed the Hop Street Lounge. That location has been closed for quite some time, a little less than a year, and a family has taken that one over and completely refurbished it and opened up our net Creek watering hole, just opened in just the last few days. So do give that one a visit if you happen to be over on the east side. I happen to be partial to growth on that east side over there, always trying to find ways to make Tanga Verde great again, bring back some semblance of Restaurant Row. And when we get to our guest after the break, we're going to talk a bit more about that east side growth over here. But a couple other big news in the restaurant world, a couple lawsuits rolled in our favor. The 80-20 rule, a rule that essentially allowed restaurants to, or forced restaurants to have different clock-ins for servers, whether they were rolling silverware versus waiting on tables. It can incredibly confusing piece of legislation that was brought back into the fold in 2021 by the Biden administration, was thrown out on Friday by the Fifth Circuit Federal Court, much to the cheers of restaurateurs all across the country that have probably had trouble calculating that most heavy load of trying to figure out at what point you were rolling silverware or bussing tables versus waiting on tables when taking the tip credit. And then as well, on Thursday, we got the final ruling from the Arizona Supreme Court that Proposition 138, the Tipped Worker Protection Act, the one you've probably heard me extolling about many times on the show, is in fact going to be on our ballot in November. And of course, as we said on previous shows, the Raise the Wage Arizona Act that was attempting to raise Arizona's minimum wage to $18 an hour is not going to be on the ballot. So this should be a pretty tremendous win for the service industry, and I think you're going to see a lot of advocacy coming up for Proposition 138 as we work our way into the November elections. Now, again, on the more positive news, as I told you, when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about a story of coming up truly from the bottom, something that rings near and dear to my heart in the restaurant business as someone that started literally as a dishwasher and is now getting to speak to you, my dear listener, over the radio, talking all things restaurant business. We're going to bring in Jared Swartz, owner of the newly formed Penelope Pizza on the east side. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk all things restaurant business here on Jump In Tucson. Don't go anywhere. Jared Swartz from Penelope Pizza coming up after the break. You are listening to Grant Kruger on 1030 AM The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back. Thanks for spending part of your morning with us in Jump In Tucson over here. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and we are joined live in the KVOI studios with owner of Penelope Pizza, Mr. Jared Swartz. Jared Swartz, good morning, Jared.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on Jump In Tucson today. So, the listeners probably don't know, but you and I actually had the opportunity to work together pretty much at the start of the pandemic, huh? We got to sling a few pies and a few tacos together wearing masks in the 2020 era. And now you've just opened up your own restaurant on the east side, Penelope Pizza.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I just moved to Tucson in 2020, right in the kind of, like you said, the beginning of the pandemic. And you know, looked around Tucson trying to find a place that it looked like it would be a good fit for me when I first came in, and
couldn't find that place, and so we were the only place hiring, and so that probably makes a lot of sense. Where did you work before? Like, where did you get your start in the restaurant business?
Well, I mean, I started off at a few different places, I guess. 15, you know, I had a little sandwich shop that I worked at for a little bit, then P.F. Chang's, and then kind of went a little more corporate, following up with that, and then was with a group called Upward Projects, which is most notable for Postino's, but they had a lot of independent brands back in the day opening up, so I got to be a part of a lot of their opening processes and opening teams, which was pretty amazing. Definitely a fun team to be around.
Yeah, that's a great restaurant group in Central Phoenix, right? Joyride, Windsor, yep. Churn, a whole lot of great. Craig DeMarco, great restaurateur over
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Lauren Bailey, Craig, yeah, they're doing a great job up there for sure. So yeah, I got to work at quite a few different spots in the greater Phoenix area, kind of Central Phoenix locations. And then, like we kind of mentioned, in 2020, I'd gotten laid off. I worked for a group called Pomo Pizzeria, or Pomo Restaurant Group. They have a handful of different concepts, and we were opening up one called Meet the Ball, a meatball centric concept, and that was right before the pandemic, and you know, kind of fizzled out a little bit, and we all kind of went our separate ways right at that beginning February March time, and that's kind of how I started getting some pizza stuff rolling on. But
So what made you choose Tucson from Phoenix? I'm always trying to advocate for people to come to the 520, right, to set up their shops and, you know, start their businesses and raise their families over here. What drove you down to the southern Arizona regions?
Well, my significant other, I guess, and kind of exactly what you were saying, starting a family, and my better half was finishing up with medical school and then going to residency. So she went to Banner University Medical Center for her residency program. So we moved down at the beginning of that. And I didn't really have much plans to ever move to Tucson kind of prior to that. It came down for a few college experiences and had a great time, but otherwise hadn't really put it on my radar. And, you know, definitely don't regret the move, that's for sure. It's been a great city.
So when we got to work together at the Reforma concept, you were already sort of forging this pizza concept, the idea that you might have a food truck in some capacity and start up. Food trucks have drawn a lot of attention over the last couple of years in Tucson because of the food truck park on the east side, the Pit, right? And it's both creation and then sort of legislative process to make a food truck park legal, which then had the sort of removal of the Pit, a new location that's been supposed to open since a couple of years ago that we really haven't seen yet. Give us the rundown about starting a food truck and how difficult that might be.
Yeah, I think, first and foremost, I'll mention that I think the city of Tucson and Pima County made it pretty easy. I mean, I don't want to say that there's still obviously certain processes you have to go through, of course, and get permitting and all that kind of stuff. But to pull over on the side of the road, relatively speaking, once you've gone through that process and just set up shop and start cooking, they make it pretty reasonably easy for you to do that, as opposed to, you know, Scottsdale or Phoenix. They've got a lot of vending laws and restrictions and things like that. So you definitely won't see a lot of trucks just sitting in a dirt lot somewhere slanging some hot dogs or pizza or whatever it might be. So I definitely think they made it relatively easy as far as opening the doors for that opportunity for people. From there, it was a great opportunity to learn how to start a business and how to run a business on a small scale. Looking back on it, it wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted a bigger scale. I wanted a bigger opportunity. But I couldn't have had a better kind of trajectory in the way that I was able to start a business in that small sense. And, you know, there were some nights where you're standing in a parking lot alone at 100 degrees with a 1,000 degree oven standing behind you, kind of maybe second guessing your choices to an extent. But then, you know, that one bite that somebody might take and tell you that it might be one of the better things that they've ever eaten, just kind of fills that cup right back up. So, it's a fun opportunity, and you get to meet a lot of different people in different areas of town too, which is a really good aspect.
So when you started your own food truck, I believe it was called Over the Counter. Was the pizza truck, if I recall correctly. How did you have your site selection? Like, how did you choose where you were going to set up shop every day?
Good question. You know, I mean, I think, it was definitely a lot of kind of cruising social medias at the time and trying to see some spots that were allowing food trucks to pull up in a consistent pattern. And it seemed like, again, Tucson had a really nice kind of demographic for different beer gardens or tap houses. So Hop Shop, Caps and Corks, Tap and Bottle, even Dragoon's Tap Shop, all those kinds of locations are very open to food trucks pulling up and having a nice rotation of food to offer their guests, which I think is a fun synergy to a bar who isn't offering food, but allowing their consumers to have a rotating offering every night. So it doesn't necessarily feel like they're eating the same food over and over again. They're, you know, they get Thai food one night, they're getting pizza the next night, they're getting Mexican food the following night, and snoring hot dogs the next, you know. So it kind of keeps things a little different for them, which I think works for everybody's sake.
You're listening to Jared Schwartz, owner of Penelope Pizza, and Grant Kruger on Jump in Tucson. We're talking all things starting your own restaurant over here in southern Arizona. I see a lot of breweries, Jared, that have the food truck model working for them because nobody wants to go out and spend that $500,000 or $750,000 to open a commercial kitchen. But that reliance on the food truck can also be quite difficult because you've got a restaurant in this micro sense of the world that has all the equipment of a traditional kitchen, except you've got to drive it around every day on something with an engine and transmission and wheels and tires. Can you talk about that complexity?
Yeah, I mean, I went with the pull behind option. So, you know, my trailer, my truck, if you will, was non-motorized. I had to pull it with a vehicle. And so that, you know, added to your point, maybe a layer sometimes of extra kind of navigation to find the right car or the right load capacity to pull with. You know, sometimes I had to find a bigger truck than what the 4Runner was able to pull. But it, you know, there's something about setting up every day and breaking down every day over and over again, or going back to the commissary kitchen and running 10 loads of dishes and prepping for the next day. And, you know, I think there's a beauty to having a door that, you know, with a lock, and you can go home and kind of leave everything behind versus everything kind of following with you. But I think that the amount of people you got to meet in the different pockets of town was far surpassed any of those little quirks to the owning the food truck.
Sure. So ultimately, food truck led you into being able to get your own brick and mortar space inside of another building. And I find that most food truck operators, after a year or so, are looking for a place with, you know, such bourgeois features as working air conditioning and plumbing, you know, and perhaps even restrooms, right? And so where did you end up going from over the counter? How'd this work?
Yeah, we were in the downtown area one day, kind of went in to grab a coffee over at Cartel Coffee, noticed this big cement square behind the coffee counter, and over a course of a couple times visiting, noticed that it was actually indeed a pizza oven or a bread oven of some capacity. So finally, after a handful of emails to the right people, we got a response and kind of started communicating. And for me, it was purely out of desperation to get out of the heat in the middle of the summer. It was right around May, June time, and the temps were cranking as well as the oven was cranking. And, you know, it's hard to keep dough in it's such a volatile ingredient, if you will, and keeping that from overproofing in a 110 degree parking lot, sometimes would make it challenging to keep a consistent product coming out of the oven. So we were pretty desperate to try to find something to maybe pop up in or kind of be in a short-term setting just until the summer months came through. And Cartel was looking for something maybe a little bit longer term and about 12-month lease. So we kind of came to some terms of sharing the space. And I felt like their brand was, you know, elevated and aligned with something that we were trying to get into and trying to also demonstrate ourselves as. So, you know, it kind of aligned perfectly. They weren't offering food. They were open a little bit later. And so it kind of, there was a nice synergy in that we were able to offer their consumers something to stay longer term, which is something I was going to mention kind of in that food truck setting too, for the beer guests. As we both know, you know, you're always looking for a way to keep your guest in the building for a little bit longer, maybe one more drink or a dessert or something along those lines. And I think when you're adding food to a bar scene, I think you're maybe going to be able to make their experience last a little bit longer. Maybe they're going to grab one more beer if they were able to fill their bellies with some food to make them maybe last a little longer at the bar top, you know. So I think that there was a synergy with Cartel and us to offer everybody something in that building that they might be looking for.
And for our listeners, this is the Cartel location that's downtown, not
correct,
the one that's on Campbell. This is 2010 East Broadway.
Yep.
If I remember correctly, kind of
210,
right, right next to where the Metro Chambers new offices are there. Mm-hmm. And right next to a brewery as well, too. That's had some change over. I believe they're now called Brick Box.
Yes, in fact. Yeah. And they were a pretty integral role to our success, I feel like, on that block and opening their arms big time on Broadway to allowing us to serve our food in their location as well.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And again, that lines up with the breweries essentially not wanting to be kitchens, right?
Sure.
Like, you start off as a brewer, that skill set that we've talked about, we've had brewers and breweries here on this show before, that same skill set that you use to clean the mash tun and the brew kettle and be a mad chemist, a mad scientist, isn't necessarily the same skill set of being a restaurateur and
sure,
being personable and hospital. And I sometimes find that Venn diagram doesn't quite overlap, and that these partnerships can be fruitful for both sides.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, to take that even one step deeper is, you know, to be a good bartender doesn't mean you're going to be a good owner, or to be a great chef doesn't mean you're going to be a good owner. And, you know, sometimes that, you know, synergy to your point of kind of having the ability to do both is a interesting dynamic. And I think I was leaning towards a lot of that latter coming into this experience, thinking I maybe knew what I was doing, but Lots to learn every day, I tell you what.
I'm still learning on the job, too. Trust me, I assure you, Jared. Well, fascinating conversation with Jared Schwartz, owner of Penelope Pizza. When we come back after the break, we're going to break down what it takes to move from the downtown location into their new location as well, too. We're going to talk all things owning restaurants downtown, why they decided to go east side, and all those challenges of opening up your own restaurant. You are listening to Jump In Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Another segment with Jared coming up after the break. Welcome back to Jump In Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and thank you again for spending part of your Wednesday morning with us. At Jump In Tucson, we always talk about all things local, right? Things that are happening in the 520. What's going down here in Southern Arizona? Tomorrow, we've got Tom Moulton coming up, head of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. He's bringing in Mike Fader, who's in charge of the Mexican Baseball Fiesta. We've got some Mexican pro teams on their way up here to Tucson in early October, and he's going to talk all the challenges about bringing pro ball back to Tucson, something that is very near and dear to my heart. As you know, we've had Jay Zucker on this show before and Edgar Soto as well, too. And so great show coming up tomorrow with Tom Moulton. Don't miss that one. But coming up right over here next again, I've got Jared Schwartz, owner of Penelope Pizza. We've got another segment. We were talking all things restaurant business here in Tucson. He started with his own food truck called Over the Counter, turned that into Penelope Pizza, into Cartel Downtown, the one at 210 East Broadway, and is now opening up, or has just opened up, his own store on Kolb. So, Jared, tell us about downtown and that operating environment of having a restaurant in the downtown Tucson area.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of very interesting dynamics to it. I think that, you know, the first kind of, like I mentioned in the previous segment, that, you know, there was an open armness that I felt immediately walking in there. At the time, Forbes Meat Company was right behind us in the back of Thunder Canyon. Thunder Canyon was next door. Cartel, you have El Charro right down the road. Then I think it kind of skipped a little bit at that time. Now we've got a lot more kind of in between those areas, but then it went all the way to Panka and Pearly Baker. And so, like, the Broadway Road, I mean, you know, immediately when I was chatting with some of those owners, it was, how do we keep business on Broadway and not lose them back to Congress? It always kind of felt like there was this bit of a battle of everything being on Congress, and here we are over on Broadway, and it's 85 feet, but how do we pull people to come?
Agreed. You that know, might be that the Broadway. Longest 85 feet in the entire restaurant business. I mean, that's the difference between being on 4th Avenue and 5th Avenue, right?
100%.
Like Congress and Broadway, it doesn't seem like much when you look at Google Maps.
Yeah.
But gosh, that chasm of 85 feet can be pretty big.
Or when you're standing at Broadway looking over at the lights 85 feet away, you're like, it's so close. Why aren't you? You know, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely a long 85 feet. So that being said, there was definitely a really seemed like a really strong camaraderie amongst everybody of like, hey, what can you bring to the table on Broadway so we can keep people on Broadway, right? So there was, you know, a beauty to that in essence. I think that, you know, there is also a negative to, you know, being in a downtown area that is still up and coming and is looking to thrive. I mean, we're obviously, I'm new to town. I can only go off of what I've heard, but I've heard that, you know, downtown is the best it's been in quite a while. And there's a lot of things happening, restaurants popping up, all these new, somewhat new, you know, residences. However, you know, there's still some missing factors in that to maybe really make it that true downtown feel. I think Johnny Gibson's does its best job at being a grocery store for people that live in the downtown area. But, you know, if you're moving from another state in a very urban setting and you move to downtown to live in an urban setting, you still need to own a car. You still need to have means of transportation to get even that 2 miles down the road to the Safeway or whatever the situation is. And so, you know, until I feel like that downtown or right around that area kind of continues to grow in some of those much needed areas to, you know, really supply a demand of residents, which, you know, it's doing a great job of that. And there's a lot of people that really enjoy it down there, but we're almost a million people city, I believe, is a population. And so that's, you know, that's it's a bustling city. And, you know, the downtown is going to have a little bit of growth to kind of catch up with that, you know.
So as someone that spent the last year operating a restaurant downtown, do you think there's too many restaurants right now downtown for the demand?
I think that there, you know, overarching Tucson feel for me is that the, you know, there's meat on the bone in this town, that there's room for everyone. However, yes, there might be some concentrated areas in the town where there tends to be more than others. And to, you know, maybe the point before was, yeah, is there enough residents maybe to supply that? Or is there enough parking? I think that's even more of a question to, you know, if we're looking to pull people from the foothills or Oro Valley or even just Midtown, can they find parking? I feel like that was my number one gripe from people that were walking in the door. And we had a street right there, Herbert, for people to park on that was immediately out the side door. And that was a greater perk than most businesses have down there. So, yeah, I think it feels a little bit packed, but, you know, that's kind of an urban setting to me. You know, it can, you know, we could.
The parking over argument has always been overplayed to me. I find that, honestly, Jared, that the Go Tucson parking app is very easy to use.
100%.
Once I figured it out the first time, sure. It did take me a minute there.
Sure.
Right? Like, but once I got that down, like, honestly, I find that it's inexpensive and easy to click on this app and pay $1.25 or something along these lines. And that's not off-putting.
No.
To me as a consumer, but yet I hear that same argument over and over and over again. No parking downtown, no parking downtown. And I don't think it's true.
I don't know if I would. I think you nailed it in the sense that I think this town and the city has done an amazing job making it accessible and easy for when you do get down there. Absolutely. Like the app I used every day, it was definitely a nice thing to have, I think, compared to a lot of the different downtowns that I've been to. And I think to your point, there are some parking lots that do sit rather empty downtown that could get filled up a little bit more for sure, that there are some, you know, abundant areas with parking. And I think maybe to your point already that, you know, if there's a lot of restaurants or a lot of consumership going on in that area and there's only four parking spots out front, then there might be a bit of a battle over those four parking spots for the six businesses that kind of surround that. That would, you know, so there's some pockets of the downtown that I would say have a little bit of that kind of issue going on, if you will. But for the most part, you know, you get over to that Congress side, there's quite a few parking lots that are sitting there ready and able with a very accessible app that could make it easy for them to park in, for sure.
But nonetheless, when your lease came up with Cartel and you looked at the option of renewing downtown, it seems to me you chose not to do so and go and take your talents to the east side, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think it became a little challenging to find a location downtown. I think that there's a bit of there's a certain amount of buildings that are available for lease down there, and they are usually maintained by the same groups, and, you know, they do their best to make it accessible to everyone. And I would say that it was rather difficult for me to, as a first-time business owner and someone who maybe didn't quite have the financial backsheet to support a 10-year lease of some capacity in that downtown area, it was rather challenging. I think we negotiated on about 7 or 8 locations, and ultimately we're only able to really kind of end up finding one that worked for us on the east side.
Right. And that was one that was already built out for a pizzeria in its previous couple of iterations. Mm-hmm. Most recently had been the Fire Truck Brewing Pizza. And Taylor Carter is, of course, no stranger to Jump in Tucson. He's been on this show over here as well, too. And before that, it was the Dry River Pizza Company. There's some rumors that that space is, quote unquote, cursed. What can you say about that?
You know, I have looked at a lot of buildings and always kind of, I think you can attest to, you know, when you look at a space that had a business that was not successful in it beforehand, you would hopefully think a little bit, you think twice sometimes, or you at least dive in a little bit deeper to see what do you feel like was maybe the root cause of something that would cause that business to go out. You certainly don't want to ever walk straight into a location where a business failed right before that, or maybe not failed, but just wasn't as successful as they wanted it to be, right? So we absolutely took that into consideration, but I just felt like at the end of the day, there was the amount of traffic that goes up and down Kolb, and to be a freestanding building like it was, and to have the presence that it does right there off the curb, and to the energy that we're starting to feel, I think, in Tucson for that east side, and the amount of change that it feels like is happening over there, it just kind of felt like the right time. I would say more than anything, I would say that it might have been somewhat cursed prior in the grand scheme of the demographic or the who was looking for what over on that side of town at the time that they existed. And I think maybe lightning in a bottle is kind of struck in that way, that there's a lot more people move into that side of town and maybe are over driving 20 minutes west to find restaurants and are happy that there might be something moving into their neighborhood, you know, for the, yeah, not no. for the first time, but, you know.
No, I'm excited for the East Side growth. We had last week on Jump in Tucson, Patrick Malarczyk, who was a chef for us over at Union Public House and at Reforma, and him and his wife have opened up their own restaurant on the East Side called Tandem American Kitchen. You just opened up over there. We've had pretty much tremendous sales success at the Maverick, right, at Grant mm-hmm. and Tangerberry. It's had a real banner growth over these last 3 years or so as well, too.
Sure.
I think that there is absolutely room in that area of the East Side for even more restaurants. Like I'm just hankering at the bit for someone to take over Sakura and make Sakura great again, you know, and turn that into the sports bar that it was on the East Side 25 years ago when I first moved to Tucson. I think there's sure. a lot of room for growth on the East Side.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been saying it since the day of the trailers that I've always felt like there was so much meat on the bone in Tucson, and whether that be restaurants or just any consumer-based businesses. I just feel like there's a lot of room for growth here.
Well, don't go anywhere. When we come back after the break, we're going to have one more segment with Jared Schwartz, owner of Penelope Pizza. We're going to break down some of the great stuff that they're selling over there at their new pizzeria on Cole. Mouth-watering goodness and menu discussion coming up after the break on Jump in Tucson. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and we are live with Chef Jared Schwartz from Penelope Pizza. We're doing one more segment over here on Jump in. Jared has just opened up his new restaurant located in the old fire truck brewing space. It's called Penelope Pizza. It's located on Kolb on the East Side, and you got a brand new menu, Jared. Talk to us about it.
Yeah, we are able to offer a lot more than we were in the downtown location. That was kind of a big reason that we wanted to move. Hospitality is not about saying no, and it was a bummer to say no in a lot of different ways down there with our hands tied kind of with the way the lease was written. So, yes, we have handmade pastas that we're doing from scratch every day. We're offering desserts. We partnered with a gentleman named Dean who owns Okashi Confections, which is an amazing pastry company. You know, he's kind of a small-time guy that offers to all the coffee shops, and he's doing our desserts, which is unbelievable. And then, yeah, we were able to kind of expand a little bit on our pizzas as well. I mean, this year in June, we were voted 46th best pizzeria in the country by Top 50 Pizza, which is a company out of Italy that does a worldwide ranking in every continent, as well as a world ranking of pizzerias. And so we were able to make that happen somehow, and earlier this year out of the cartel space. So we're really excited to see how we can grow and hopefully protect that or maybe even climb the ranks a little bit more this year with some of our new offerings. And then most importantly, we have a full bar. That was kind of our big thing we wanted to move into. So beer, wine, cocktails, we're offering it all right now.
No, a full bar can often be the sweet elixir that provides the profits necessary for a restaurant to stay open. It's amazing how that works.
It is a night and day difference, that's for sure.
So what else new? A bigger kitchen obviously gets you bigger problems as well, too, right? A more
Absolutely.
Complex operation, more employees. Like, tell us about some of the challenges you're going through right now.
Yeah, we have been lucky enough to find a really solid team, and we are really in the trenches together right now. I think we were kind of talking about it briefly earlier, and, you know, right now our focus is just trying to maintain business for the for our guests that are inside the building. We haven't started taking any takeout orders over the phone or online. If you would like one, you can come down and have a seat at the bar, enjoy maybe a beer while you're waiting. But you can place an order at the bar just because we are cranking right now. We've been on a wait almost starting at 4 o'clock every day, Wednesday through Sunday. It's been quite an experience, and we're really excited. We've been, rising to the challenge in a great way, but there's just a lot of mitigation with sometimes with business that on that scale, and we're only able to put 6 pizzas in that oven at any time. So when there's 50 on the board to cook, sometimes that last pizza can take a brief moment to get to, and so we're definitely navigating some of those challenges for sure.
Well, to-go pizzas, we've discussed before on the show, yeah, can also be a very difficult thing. Like a beautiful Neapolitan style pizza, which is absolutely fantastic, coming out of an amazing wood fire oven, doesn't age so well for 17 minutes in the back of someone's Toyota Camry, no?
Absolutely not. It's definitely a notorious thing that everybody talks about at the pizza expos and at the different group meetings for pizza owners is, you know, the kiss of death is putting it in a pizza box and retaining all that heat and steam when it's fresh out of the oven, just kind of kills all that crispiness that you're getting.
Without a doubt. So what are your favorite dishes over there at Penelope right now? What are you recommending our guests and our listeners from Jump in Tucson come in and try? I know Matt Neely, producer, lives on that east side over there. He's excited for Penelope. He's ready to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, we've got several that have been following us since the food truck days, over-the-counter days. Spicy Jim, that's kind of a souped-up, spicier pepperoni pizza with some jalapenos and buffalo ranch on there. The Sergeant Pepper pizza, that one's going to have our house sausage, roasted Anaheim peppers, Mike's Hot Honey, really nice kind of dynamic pizza on that with a garlic oil base. So those two are definitely necessities. We do, you know, pretty unique style pies. My favorite is the Jackie Luna with our house pickled jalapenos, pepperoni. And then I know it's controversial, but we put a little pineapple drizzle on there. So I take fresh pineapples and we blend it with a little bit of oregano and salt. And then we hit it with just a little bit of drizzle before it goes in the oven. And so when it comes out, you're getting that aroma of the pineapple. You're getting a little touch of sweetness when you're eating that pie. And it's almost a mind play because you're looking for the pineapple everywhere and you can't really find it because it's just kind of evaporated into the pizza, which has been really nice to watch that surprise on the guest's face, especially when there's clearly an argument at the table about why they ordered that pizza with pineapple on it in the first place. So it's been fun to kind of change some minds.
No bigger argument almost in 2024. Forget this presidential election stuff. This pineapple on pizza thing is still going strong and perhaps one of the more divisive issues to affect our country over the last decade.
I've seen some relationships definitely split over that argument for sure.
And the house-made pasta, give us a rundown about what you're doing there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right now, kind of touching from that earlier statement, we're just really trying to make sure that we are making the classics and making what we are offering the guest as perfect as possible and consistent as possible. So we started off with our house-made meatballs, a spaghetti and meatballs. We're offering we're calling it quattro formaggi. It's more or less an adult mac and cheese with four different kinds of cheese blend, a little bit of garlic and green onions in there. And then what's kind of taken off the most is our 10-layer lasagna. It looks like a cinder block. You could definitely build a house on it. But it is the fork drop, as people like to refer to it. It cuts right through. It's not overly cheesy, not overly saucy. It's got a little bit of lemon and basil in the ricotta. So that one's been a kind of a fan favorite as of lately, for sure.
So give our guests the rundown. Where can they find you? Website, Instagram, socials. Break it down for us here.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are on Kolb Road, right between Speedway and Broadway. We share a parking lot with the Guadalajara Grill that's over there. And for those that have been around town for long enough, I've been told that it used to be the Cheap Movie Theaters, which is now the CubeSmart Storage Complex. So for those that sounds like went to high school and graduated in the early 2000s, you might have worked there for a little bit in your day at the movie theaters. But yeah, we're right there on Kolb Road. We're a gray and black building. You'll see our white sign, Penelope Pizza. You can find us at penelopepizza.com, penelope.woodfired on Instagram, yeah, on Google Maps, Yelp, find us on all over on there.
And still no to-go orders right now. You got to come in and experience this pizza for yourself. It holds up better that way, right, Chubb?
Absolutely. I mean, preferably you would dine in with it. But yes, if if you came in, ordered a pizza and asked for it in a to-go box, we would be happy to do that for you as well. And you can take it with you. But for now, we are definitely focused on trying to, you know, maintain the in-house guests and make sure that they're getting the experience that they deserve.
Well, congratulations on all your success thus far, Chef. I couldn't be prouder than to have former team members of mine sitting across from me here on the show talking about how they've run and opened their own restaurants, how they've risen to the challenge. Like, there is nothing more American dreamy than that right there, and nothing better than the restaurant business to provide us these sort of opportunities. What other industry could we go out and start from the absolute bottom and yet create our own businesses, right? You couldn't have made your own supermarket or your own hardware store or your own retail or something like that. But here I am sitting across from Chef Jared Swartz from Penelope Pizza. Big congratulations to you and much success in your restaurant venture.
I appreciate it. You know, you tend to look back at some of your some of the bosses you've had in the past and which ones you've learned a lot from. And, you know, we were only together for 6 months, but, you know, those manager meetings that we got to have and what you dial in on and what you focus on for your business is, you know, taught me a lot. So it was definitely, you know, I'm glad we got to have a brief, but, you know, strong experience together for sure. And I appreciate you letting me use maybe a couple of your pizza ovens in the back for me to R&D on that you may not know about, but I appreciate it.
I can neither confirm nor deny the accuracy of those statements right over here. But a fantastic show, Chef. Appreciate your timing and joining us on Jump in Tucson. Do take the time to go visit Penelope Pizza on Cole. It has been an absolute pleasure to spend the morning with you. Again, tomorrow, Tom Moulton, Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. He's got Mike Fader coming up. They're going to talk all things Mexican baseball coming at Tucson, and Dennis Prager coming up after the break. Thanks for spending part of your morning with us. This has been Jump in Tucson with your host, Grant Kruger, on 1030 AM The Voice, your home for local news and talk.